This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Evictions have increased in Hamilton County this year at a time when resources to help families have become scarce. Joining me now to talk about the numbers and the help that's still available are Hamilton County Clerk of Courts, Pavan Parikh. Thanks for being here, Clerk Parikh.
Thank you for having me.
And Hamilton County Clerk of Courts Help Center Director and Chief Attorney, Nick Zingarelli. Welcome, Nick.
Thanks, Lucy. Good to be here.
Great to have you. Let's start by talking about these numbers. Clerk Parikh, we've seen the headlines that eviction filings are increasing in Hamilton County. What do the numbers show?
Unfortunately, they're bearing that out, and we have surpassed pre-pandemic levels of evictions, and the numbers don't show any signs of abating right now. As of this point in the year, we're already over 8,000 eviction filings. Now, there were years during the pandemic where that was the entirety of the year, those kinds of numbers. We're already there pre-pandemic, or the biggest numbers we've seen were about 13,000. If we're already at 8,000 right now, we anticipate, unfortunately, we're going to blow past that number by the end of the year.
Wow. And so that's, I mean, it's what, roughly 1,000 a month or more than 1,000 a month that you're seeing?
More than that.
What, Nick, what are the reasons behind those increases that you're hearing from people?
You know, it's difficult to say what the actual causes is. That's one of the things that we want to dig down into and try to find the answers is by engaging. If you can get to the root issues, then hopefully you can get to prevention. But so many people are a lost job, a sickness, a divorce, you name it, some type of unexpected life event away from having their rent interrupted. And unfortunately, we do see a lot of evictions where landlords are filing for relatively small amounts of money. Less than $1,000 in rent owed is not unusual to see an eviction complaint being filed.
And we've talked a lot about on this program about how housing costs are increasing, rents are increasing, pay isn't always keeping pace. So, I mean, is that something you hear from people too, that, hey, my rent's gone up and I just can't cover it?
Rents are definitely going up. There's no doubt about that. The market just is what it is. There is a housing shortage right now, and there's not enough units, and it's basic supply and demand in that regard. There's not enough supply. Demand is there. So sadly, the rates are going to continue to increase.
And real wages just have not kept up over the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years at this point. So even if people do get a raise, the cost of living continues to increase at a much greater rate. And because of that, at a certain point, the math stops mathing. And they may be making a little bit extra money, but those rents keep increasing, and they're just not able to keep up anymore.
Sure, and the cost of everything is getting higher.
Cost of everything is getting higher, and it when you look at someone's inability to save, a lot of people are living paycheck to paycheck now. Probably a very high percentage of people are living paycheck to paycheck. And if they can't save the money, one of these events that Nick talks about, losing your job, a medical bill, your car breaks down, all of a sudden, whatever savings you had are gone. And your ability to then put that extra money aside for the next time that happens, that capacity is completely decimated. So you're going to be in a very bad situation very quickly if, unfortunately, something else happens.
We're talking about the rising number of eviction filings in Hamilton County and the help that's available for people. Do you have questions or comments, or have you gotten help from the Help Center? We'd like to hear from you. Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. Now, during the COVID-19 pandemic, there was rental assistance available to help people with that back rent. Has all that assistance pretty much dried up? Is that available for people anymore?
There is some rental assistance that's still available, but we are in some pretty dire straits right now. There's two main rental assistance pots that are still out there. That is through St. Vincent de Paul. And if you live within the city of Cincinnati, there is what's called an Access to Counsel rental assistance program that assists people. You do have to have been served with a notice to leave the premises, and that's something that is initially administered through the United Way. So that is a resource that is there. But a lot of the CARES money is not there anymore. Community Action Agency did a phenomenal job at administering a lot of rental assistance locally, but they no longer have money. The 513 relief money through Job and Family Services, that is gone. And what the pandemic really revealed is that you have to have this level of safety net there, because anybody can get sick, anybody can lose their job. And yeah, in an ideal set of circumstances, to Pavan's point, You have some level of savings there, but that's not realistic for everybody when you do have rents increasing, groceries increasing, and wages not keeping up with it. You have to have a safety net to be able to catch people, and that rental assistance needs to be something that's ongoing, that goes beyond the pandemic. And sadly, it's not there in great enough resources right now.
I know one of our producers talked with Legal Aid of Greater Cincinnati. They said out of the more than 1,000 people who are getting filed with eviction notices, they can serve maybe 10%, and they end up directing people to the help center. So, Nick, let's start with you. Talk to us a little bit about what the help center is and what kind of help it can provide for people who have gotten that really scary notice that they're going to be evicted.
So the Help Center is a partnership between the University of Cincinnati College of Law and the Hamilton County Clerk of Courts. We assist people that are unrepresented. We provide information and advice, what are called limited legal representation appointments, with people to then guide them through whatever the next stage is in the legal process where they're at. We are on track to serve over 22,000 people this year between information provided by phone, through walk-in, through legal appointments and what have you. And that is between our two locations, one at the courthouse and then one at the juvenile court at 800 Broadway. So in terms of assisting people in eviction matters, we will get calls from people saying they've been served with a notice to leave the premises and not knowing what that then means. So providing them with information, for example, that this is just the beginning. Some people interpret a notice to leave the premises as being, I must leave now, and they think that it's judicial. But in fact, it's more pre-judicial. It's what is required before you can file an eviction complaint. If they've been served with an eviction complaint, then we may be giving them more specific information about when and where their hearing is, making sure that they are aware of the volume of cases that are being heard on the day of their hearing, to ensure that they are there on time, allowing time for security, because it is a very fast process. They schedule two dockets a day, 9:30 and 10:30, and usually between 30 to 50 hearings per docket. So if you are not there on time, it is likely that the case will be called and it will be heard without you. So just ensuring that they get their opportunity to be heard, and also not taking anything for granted that just because they're given an assurance, perhaps by their landlord, that, oh no, it's fine, don't worry about it, we still encourage them to attend. Because as long as that shows as being an active hearing on that court's docket, it is in the best interest of the tenant to appear, make sure that they are heard, make sure that there is no confusion with the court about what is happening. Because let's face it, I have seen situations where landlords get their wires crossed and they will prosecute the wrong eviction, where it is believed that this was resolved, and then it's like, oh, we went ahead and got the writ on that day, and could be confusion, could be misleading, difficult to say. But if the tenant is there and ensures that they are heard, there's no opportunity for confusion because that tenant's not going to let that happen.
And part of the problem is, and when you get to the point that you're at a hearing, if it doesn't go your way, you're 7 days away from having to move out of your home. And so we think of the help center kind of as an urgent care. And that's the reason why it was created, because for criminal cases, people are entitled to legal representation. In civil cases, you're not. But in the case of an eviction, for example, the consequences are potentially as dire to someone, to their life and their livelihood, than even a low-level criminal conviction. So the idea for the help center when it was created in 2017 was, we got to plug that gap to the point that we've all talked about already. There's never going to be enough resources. There are never going to be enough attorneys. There's never going to be enough capacity to help all the people that are affected in the system. So we have this urgent care center at the courthouse that people can come to specifically on issues like eviction, like debt collection, municipal civil issues. That was the genesis of the help center. What we have seen is that, as with everything, it's multifaceted, that when you have one problem, it snowballs into a different area. And that is where the expansion into juvenile court happened last year, where there was a desire from the juvenile court administrative judge, Judge Carrie Bloom, to say, we know we have a need over here, and we think it also potentially touches some of the issues with the evictions that are happening over municipal court. Can we get an attorney over here? And then we started looking even larger scale. Okay, well, what about maybe somebody owns their place? What about a foreclosure? And those are the areas that we're looking at expansion now.
And Clerk Parikh, the Help Center, I know we've been talking about all the different kinds of advice it can offer, but it seems, am I wrong, it can also offer help if you haven't yet been served with an eviction notice, but maybe you are behind on your rent or you want to put your rent in escrow because you feel
Absolutely.
Like there's something going on there. Talk to us about that.
Absolutely. And what we want to encourage everybody to do is the second you think that there may be an issue, to seek help. The earlier in the process you seek help, the more options you have. If you wait until you've had an eviction hearing, again, you may be 7 days away from having to move out of your house. If you can come to the Help Center, if you can consult another type of attorney that you may know on the front end before there's an issue where you're saying, hey, the landlord has not fixed my hot water and I need to figure out what to, I'm not going to pay them rent. Well, maybe the correct answer is you need to file your rent in escrow. But they may not know to do that. So the earlier on in the process, the more that you can seek legal help, the more options you're going to have, the better situation you can potentially find yourself in long term.
And the earlier in the legal process, it honestly can keep them from making a mistake that may be somewhat fatal. Because in Ohio, in order to start the rent escrow process, you must be current on your rent. That is by statute. There's no discretion for the court on that. So ensuring that they don't get behind, that they don't take matters into their own hands to say, well, if this isn't fixed, I'm not paying you, that can take away a lot of rights for them without them knowing.
Yes, putting rent in escrow sounds kind of straightforward, but it's a complicated process. It takes some understanding of the way the system works to really get that done, doesn't it?
It is complicated, and it's frustrating for people when they come in because they want to take some type of definitive action. But that first action that they have to take is putting their landlord on written notice of the issues that they wish to have remedied. And that is something that has to be done before filing anything in court, just as a notice to leave the premises has to be served upon the tenant before an eviction complaint can be filed. You have to then give the landlord a reasonable period of time to cure, or 30 days, whichever is shorter. That's what the statute says. If it isn't cured within that time, then you can file a rent escrow application starting with the next rent payment that is due. So if somebody is filing in July, they can pay their August rent, not their July's rent, unless it's on the first of the month.
Hmm. Well, we're talking about the rising number of eviction filings in Hamilton County and the Help Center that's available to give people support. Do you have questions or comments, or have you gotten help from the Help Center? We'd like to hear from you. Give us a call, 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Now, the Help Center doesn't provide a lawyer to go to these hearings with people, and I've sat through these eviction dockets. It's amazing how quickly these cases, I mean, sometimes they're less than a minute that people are up there and
Correct.
These decisions are made. I know legal aid, you know, you can, if you have the opportunity to have a legal aid lawyer, they'll be there with you, but the Help Center can't do that. Talk about, can that make a big difference? Even if you don't have a lawyer, getting that help from the Help Center, can you help avoid eviction and or you know, work through this process without having a lawyer in that room with you?
Well, I think to Nick's point on the question of rent escrow, I mean, that process right there, those steps you have to take to prevent from getting into the situation of even having the eviction filed against you. If you do not follow that, if you do not follow the advice to the T, you put yourself in a bad situation. And so, again, getting that advice, coming to us as early as possible in the process where you think there might be an issue, it can preserve your rights. And that's been one of the really big benefits of it. And I will say also, we are focused this conversation so far on the tenants. Landlords too. Mom and pop landlords a lot of times may have a bad tenant. They're trying to figure out, what do I need to do to be able to effectuate an eviction? And we want to help them in the same way that we want to help tenants and understand what your rights are, understand what the process is, because that's where a lot of the confusion really is, and allow people to make their own decisions, but advise them as best as we can of, this is what happens if you make this decision, this is what happens if you make this decision, so they can preserve whatever rights they're seeking to preserve.
It's like you were reading my mind. My next question was about the support for landlords. How often do you have these smaller landlords coming to the Help Center, Nick, and saying, hey, I've got this really problematic tenant. I know there are rules I have to follow. I've never dealt with this before. How big a part of your caseload is that?
It's far more than you think. In terms of numbers, I can't give you precise numbers, but honestly, it was kind of a surprise to me when I started this position, you know, close to a year ago, the number of landlords that we do encounter. And it isn't just traditional landlord-tenant situations. It's situations where people are put in the positions of being a landlord, sometimes against their will. You will have people that will sometimes then kind of move in and start to get mail and then basically assert rights to residents in the premises.
Like squatters almost?
Kind of like squatters, huh. Kind of like involuntary tenants for the people that live here. And you would think that this would just be a trespass situation, but it's interpreted as being a civil matter. So we will get a lot of people that come to the help center that need assistance with this in guiding them through service of the notice to leave the premises, doing everything that needs to be done before filing an eviction complaint, because sometimes that is their only recourse to getting that involuntary tenant out of their home.
Wow, an involuntary tenant. I had never thought about that as a problem. I know that most tenants in eviction court don't have a lawyer, and most landlords do, but aren't many landlords required to have a lawyer in eviction court? Isn't there state law that requires them, depending on how their company is structured?
A business entity has to be represented by counsel. So if it's a business that is the owner of the property or the landlord as it's defined by the lease, then yes, they must have an attorney representing them in eviction court. But it is also just a disproportionate amount of money and power that is in existence here. The landlords, they own the property, so therefore they have the funding to be able to do this, and they have a streamlined method in doing it. The majority of the people walking into eviction court, it's their first time ever going into eviction court. There are some people that this happens to multiple times, but most, they're going in for the first time and they're flying blind. They're hearing language flying around that courtroom that they have no familiarity with, and it is happening lightning fast. This has been something that we've really tried to shine a light on. We do a monthly eviction docket observation event where the public, anybody can come in. All they have to do is just register so that we know that you're going to be there, and we'll provide them with the docket. We'll allow them to be able to observe what's happening that day, and then we do a debriefing afterward in the courthouse to explain how cases get into eviction court to begin with, and then to allow them to ask questions that we can answer. This has been attended by a lot of city leadership, leadership from nonprofits, students, teachers, you name it, people that really want to see what eviction looks like, because you can describe it to somebody all day. Until you actually see it and witness the number of people who are then going to be made homeless in a lightning fast period, you can't understand it until you actually experience it.
And I think when you think of the courts in general, this is supposed to be a place where anybody can come, where you are on equal footing, that there are two parties that are on equal footing that can assert their rights under law and equity in front of a judge, in front of a magistrate, and be heard. That's not what happens because of the imbalance of resources. And the idea of the help center is, let's try to plug that gap. Let's ensure that we can, to the extent possible, with the resources that we have and the time that we have, level the playing field as much as we possibly can. It's on a certain level never going to be completely level, but it can be more equitable than it was before the help center was created back in 2017.
And Lucy, we are actually taking another step as part of our expansion. We're continuing to look for where the opportunities are, and we have a tremendous opportunity. We're going to start a pilot program this fall where we will actually have an attorney that will be representing people from a limited representation perspective in first cause hearings in eviction court. Now, that doesn't mean an attorney for every tenant on every day. It is one attorney on certain dockets to then see how does this work. And this is being done in partnership with the city of Cincinnati as well. They've been a wonderful partner in this. So that will start sometime this fall. We're building that out right now.
Wow. So that would be an attorney who's in the courtroom with certain clients during their hearings. Is that what that...
To navigate them through the first cause hearing, and those are the only hearing, or that's the only causes that are heard in eviction court at the Justice Center. The first causes are the ones that determine whether the landlord gets possession of the premises, and nothing more than that. Anything that has to do with money, possible counterclaims by the tenant for conditions issues and what have you, that happens at a later date. Those are forms and guides that we assist people with on as well. But that attorney in this pilot project would then be actually standing next to the tenant in eviction court, almost kind of like a public defender, but just for the limited purpose of, does the landlord get possession or not?
Yeah. I've done a lot of reporting in the past on the drastic impacts that evictions can have on families, the long-term consequences they can have. You mentioned homelessness. I mean, there are all these, it's a snowball effect. Clerk Parikh, I understand your office removed some old eviction records from your website. Walk us through why you decided to do that.
Well, the thought process behind that was, again, this idea of trying to establish some equity wherever we can. And when you look at some of the data, it's kind of a garbage in, garbage out situation. So in a civil filing, for example, if there are 15 Nick Zingarellis in Hamilton County that are being served with evictions and you are Nick Zingarelli 16, your name comes up on this website that does not have the detailed information of what's your birthday, what's your social security number, how do we know that it's you? And a prospective landlord goes and Googles your name, and they go to our website and look at your name, and then all of a sudden they say, oh, this person has 16 potential evictions against them. I'm not going to rent to that person. And so we looked at what are other jurisdictions doing to try to address this issue. We saw that other jurisdictions around Ohio had taken similar steps where they looked at if it's been 3 years and you've either paid all fines and fees or the case has been dismissed, we're just going to pull it back from the public version of the website. Now, the records are still there. If somebody wants to request anything from us, obviously we'll turn them over. But the idea was there are people that are using the public version of our website as a cheat code around doing a full background check, doing a full credit check. This information, if it really was you, would show up on a background check. It would show up on your credit check. But people were using our website for free to try to get around that and try to get around paying the money to do that. And so we thought this was a small step that we could take to try to, again, level the playing field as much as possible.
And I know the Hamilton County Municipal Judges were not in agreement fully with that decision. Where does that case stand?
It is in front of a judicial panel as we speak, and that case continues to move forward, and we'll see what happens.
Okay. We're running out of time. We just got a call from somebody who couldn't stay on the line, got evicted. She and her children are now homeless. She's wondering what resources there are to help her. Should she call United Way 211? Is that the best starting point?
211 is always a really good starting point because they're kind of like the encyclopedia of resources in Cincinnati. And I mean, it is just literally dial 211 just like you would 911.
Yeah. Okay.
Central Access Point is a good, I don't have the phone number handy.
Sure.
You can contact our help center. We have a lot of resource guides available.
Okay. We'll have to stop you there. I apologize. I've been talking with Hamilton County Clerk of Courts, Pavan Parikh, and Hamilton County Clerk of Courts Help Center Director and Chief Attorney, Nick Zingarelli. Thank you both. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WBXU. I'm Lucy May.
Thank you, Lucy.